Attention. This is the Digital Production Bus, telling you what's happening now and in the future. Production. First production. Distribution.
What's the bus? Tell me what's happening. What's the bus? Tell me what's happening.
This is the Digital Production Bus. What do you want to know?
Hey, and welcome to this week's Digital Production Buzz. I'm the Chief Buzzmeister, Philip Hodgetts, and my guest host this week is Michael Horton, the head cutter from the Los Angeles Final Cut Pro user group, also known as Lapsy Pug, to save on the words.
Right. Hi, everybody.
That's a lot to say. No wonder we all just call it Lapsy Pug, but I can't assume that everybody out there knows that Lapsy Pug is the biggest user group in the world.
And we'll be 5 years old next June 22, which is next week.
That'll be before next week's show, so right. We can talk about what happened when we get there. So who's that, the user group?
Actually, next week at the user group is Mark Stolaroff, who we'll be talking to tonight, and Andrew Ballas is going to show us how to edit in the viewer in Final Cut Pro 5, and Philip Hodges is going to talk about Apple's move to Intel, and the really cool thing is Silicon Color will be showing us Final Touch.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Okay, our guest is Mark Stolaroff, who is a producer. He's the founder, he was one of the founders of Next Wave Films, which is no longer with us. I'm sorry, Mark. But Mark is going to be with us next week at the Lapsy Pug as one of our guests.
Where's that meeting, Mark?
Which is at the Gallery Theater in Barnsdale Art Park. And also, Mark is the founder of the teacher of No Budget Film School. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Really good. Mark, really quickly, because we don't have a lot of time here, but when we talk about low-budget films, we all know what a low-budget film is, but what is a no-budget film?
Well, I've kind of loosely, for my class anyway, I've kind of loosely defined it as under $250,000, but really I think the true spirit of no-budget filmmaking is, to define it the best way, is the making a movie with whatever money you have easily available to you. So it could be $300, it could be $5,000, it could be $10,000. Most people, you know, to have $250,000, they actually have to go out and raise it, and they may have to spend a year to do that, and that's kind of not what I'm talking about when I talk about no-budget filmmaking, although, you know, there is a great model for making movies at that level and incorporate some of the ideas that I think good no-budget filmmaking incorporates. But really, I think that's the best definition. You know, it's saying, you know what, I'm not going to finance my movie. I've got $50,000 from an insurance policy, and I'm going to make the best movie I can with $50,000.
So it's essentially a metaphor then more than anything else. Now, over the last 10 years, you've obviously learned a lot, especially by watching and doing low-budget and no-budget movies. And there are tips and tricks that we've all learned over the years, but you probably more than anyone else have compiled a lot of good tips and tricks. Is there any, what should we look out for? I have a script. I want to go out and make my movie. I got some credit cards. I got some support from my parents. I got maybe $10,000. I want to make this grand old movie, but I want to make it look professional. How the heck can I do it?
Right. Well, I think the first thing you say there, you know, look professional. I think that's the thing that most people spend all their time and effort thinking about and worrying about and maybe most of their money trying to obtain. And really, that's one of the big fallacies. I'm putting together, you know, my outline for the class, and I have these things called Mythbusters. And the one big Mythbuster is that production value is overrated. And it's hard, I think, for a lot of people to get this, especially people who've been really working in the industry, because they spend so much time and money, you know, being very good at what they do if they're a cinematographer or something else. But as a no-budget filmmaker, you really can't get bogged down by production value. When you watch 2,000 films for a company like Next Wave Films, you start to realize that the last thing you're looking for, and whether you're going to invest in a movie, is production value. There's so many other things that have to come, that come before that, that are more important, and you know, things like performances and story and the talent of the filmmaker. And those are the things that festivals are looking for, that distributors are looking for. And if you don't get those right, it doesn't matter how good, you know, something looks.
Every time you show your movie, though, to a filmmaker, a filmmaker friend of yours, they're the ones who are looking for those production values, and they're the ones who just crucify you on the fact that your lighting is crap. And,
right. Well, here's the thing. I mean, but one of the first things I'll talk about in the class is this is one of the key. You know, if you don't remember anything else I say to you, you know, kind of points. They kind of go hand in hand, these 2 points. One is that you have to, when you're making a no-budget film, you have to embrace your limitations. So it's a state of mind thing. This kind of zen, you know, low-budget filmmaking way that you want to be a part of. And so when you say embrace your limitations, it's saying, you know, I've got $10,000, like you said. I have a few of these things available to me. I'm going to use those things. I'm going to think about, you know, what I don't have is kind of, you know, and turn that in, you know, turn the limitation into an opportunity. And the first and most powerful way to do that is to take make a resource assessment and say, you know, what things do I have available to me right now to make a movie with? What props and set pieces and locations and equipment and, you know, crew members and what are these things I have available to me right now? And then I'm going to write my script around those things so that the film will never feel low budget because you have all the resources that you need to make your film. I mean, the thing that's interesting, and I'm sure you would agree with this, is, you know, you can go out, there are movies that you can see that cost $5,000 and they don't feel low budget at all. And then there's, you know, you can watch late night cable and see $1 million movies that feel utterly low budget. And I think that's because those sometimes people go way beyond their means and way beyond the kind of style that their particular set of resources allows them, you know, to make the movie that those resources allow them to make. You have to stay within those means and work with that. And production value is a lot more than just, you know, what you're shooting on. It you know, obviously it's production design, it's scenery, it's makeup and wardrobe, and every film has, you know, certain priorities that, in some cases, you know, makeup for one movie might be utterly important. It might be the most important thing. If you don't get that right, you're done, you know. Whereas for another movie, it's just like, look, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It won't make or break us. So
in other words,
you have to kind of pick and choose.
In other words, don't try and make a $250,000 movie on $10,000. Make a good $10,000 movie.
Right. And there's tricks and there's ways to do that. The beautiful thing is about all this is the movement. What's really helped the movement over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years is that these new tools have come out to where we don't really have to, you know, spend any more money than we were spending before, and we're every year we get a little bit better, quote, production value, better at least in terms of the visuals, the look of it, from the equipment improving and the simplicity of that, you know, obviously with editing software and that kind of thing. So for me, the big kind of moment was when, you know, Panasonic released the 24p, you know, DVX-100. All of a sudden, now you have a camera that, again, that you can own, like we would suggest that you do, or borrow from somebody and have total access to it. And you're getting like 95% of what you want to get in terms of your look from that camera, in terms of, for narrative films. You're getting this great film look, and it's got all these tools to kind of set your gamma and all this. If you have a really good DP and who knows how to use available light and whatever, you can get an amazing look out of that camera. And the only time that look isn't going to completely, it might let you down slightly, is if you're lucky enough to get a distribution in the United States where you have to blow it up to film. Because right now, you know, we're still in the world of theatrical distribution is on 35mm, although that's going to be changing. That happens so rarely, and it only happens if you do all the other things right. So if you don't get the performances right, don't get your story right, don't get all these other things that are really important, you know, and the specific things that are important to that specific story right, you're never going to get to a theatrical distribution, and it's never going to matter.
Right.
You know, resolution, which is the big thing that everybody, you know, thinks about when they're, I got to shoot HD or I got to shoot 35, that's the least important thing to making a successful movie.
You can spend $12 million or $120 million and still make a bad movie.
Right. And the thing is, if you're making $120 million, well, the cost of resolution is a tiny, tiny portion of your budget.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. And you have professionals at every particular department. You're going to get everything right. And it's not, these aren't concerns. But when you have $10,000 and you've got to figure out how you're going to spend that $10,000, and I would argue that food might be, you know,
right,
a huge part of your budget. I mean,
yes,
it was 15% of the budget of the movie I just produced. And I can show you clips from that movie and you'll go, damn, that looks really good. Well, it was a $50,000 movie where we, you know, really took advantage of the things that are available to no-budget filmmakers to try to get that look. I mean, obviously, you know, we did a few things to make it, you know, to we put a lot of time into production value, but we didn't let it get in the way of what was really important. So
yeah, you had a... we're talking about the movie that you're involved in, with which is called True Love, and the budget, I believe, was something like $50,000. And part of this whole experiment not only was to make a good movie, but was to see if you can do it with a full crew. And you you apparently did it with a full crew, and you did it with a crew in most departments, correct?
Right, but what we did, the reason why we were able to do that is that we were applying some of the same techniques, which is, you know, use what you have available to you. Well, you know, my producing partner is a two-time Academy Award-winning sound mixer. Now, he's a director and a producer as well. That's his day job. But, you know, he's got a ton of sound gear, and if he wants to ask a really great sound mixer to work on our show for 22 days at $50 a day, he can get somebody because they all want to work for him, you know. And so we have an Emmy Award-winning sound mixer and many times two boom operators, union boom operators. I shouldn't say that, but maybe union boom operators working on the show. Well, that's something that we were able to do without spending any extra money. So we're still using the same techniques to get that kind of production value. But production value for us, again, for this particular movie, was something that we were trying to obtain, and it was, again, like an experiment. But we didn't go too far with it. I mean, the director wanted to shoot film originally for this project, but when he couldn't make it for $1 million, and we talked about making it for $50,000, he wanted to shoot with an SDX-900. Well, that's a camera that's too expensive to buy, and I didn't want to rent a camera. I think that it wasn't necessary to bump up to that next kind of level, you know? We could get just the look we wanted from a DVX-100. We own that camera. We own the some of the accessories, and that kind of flexibility of owning the camera, owning the editing system, that's something that I didn't want to lose with, you know, this experiment. And that's one of the beautiful things about making no budget films, is that if you can own the camera, have access to the camera, and own the editing system, have access to the editing system, it's like you're the studio now, and you have unlimited free time, which is something that people will never get again in their career when they make real, you know, real movies. I mean, those are the things that you don't want to lose in the process.
So you're in post-production now. Are you still within that $50,000 budget on True Love?
Well, right now we are, because you know, the budget right now is about $55,000, and the reason we're still in there is because we had an editor who we were paying not very much, but we were paying, and he's really a team member. But at some point, you know, we were kind of working on this cut and thinking it's a kind of a complicated story. We said, you know, he has to go make a real living, because we're not giving him a living with what we're paying him.
Right.
But the director's an editor, and so right now what we've been doing is the director, he's not an editor per se, but he can edit, and he's been playing around with some ideas and exploring kind of story things. And then when we feel like, oh, this is a good direction we want to go in, then we can bring on another editor, or bring on our old editor and pay him a little bit to kind of finish that idea out. So we'll spend a little bit more money when that point happens. But right now, it's not costing us anything. I mean, you know, we don't spend $1 doing what we're doing. And if we need to go out and shoot something off, you know, I can get the actor. I can go out with a camera, either get my DP, or I can go out and maybe shoot it myself. It's not too complicated, and pop off a shot and load it in the, you know, computer, and there you go. And that's the kind of thing that I didn't want to lose. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I'd shot with an SDX-900. Now I got to get $650 and go rent that camera for a day.
Yeah, that's
I have to rent the deck. You know, it's a $15,000 deck. I got to rent that deck, and you know, it's just a whole different kind of way of making movies that way.
And that's why you're so big on owning the camera and owning the editing gear.
Absolutely. I mean, if you can't afford to own it, believe me, somebody out there, you know, has a camera to use. Now, I would recommend trying to get, again, one of these 24P cameras, but, you know, back in the day, before they had that, I used to say, just get whatever camera you can put your hand on. If it's a one-chip, I mean, as long as it's a DV camera, if it's a one-chip DV camera, that there's been great movies, you know, The Celebration, whatever, you know, that have been made with a one-chip, you know, DV camera. I own three DV cameras now, but someone's got an XL1 sitting around that they never use, and I'm one of those people, because I have two, you know, newer cameras now, and you can get your hands on a camera that will deliver a good result. It's just a little trickier, I think, when you have to shoot PAL, or you're shooting with a Canon in frame mode to try to get that film look, or you're trying to create that in post. You know, now with the 24P cameras, you can get that immediately in real time, and that's a really, really big advance.
I'm going to ask the tough question now. Be honest now, Mark. You've sitting here and you've watched all this footage that you've accumulated here over the past several months. It's all in your computer. You're watching it. Do you get to that oh my God, I wish I had another $50,000. I could make this so wonderful if I just had $50,000 more dollars.
I love that question because the issues right now with our film and getting it to be as good a movie. It was a Sundance Screenwriters Lab project. The director's first film was in dramatic competition in Sundance in 2001. We set out to make a great movie, not to make a decent movie, a great movie.
Right.
And it's an execution dependent kind of a film, and we're trying to get there. I mean, I think, you know, we have our first cut, you know, is a pretty good movie, and it might have gotten into some festivals, but that wasn't the goal, and there's a lot to kind of play with. There's nothing about what we're lacking in terms of getting to that point that money would fix. It's all in the creative stuff. We got great stuff. I mean, our footage is great. We have great acting. The dialogue was really strong. And, you know, when you see the clips next week, hopefully you'll agree with that. It's not just my opinion. And it's really about finding the right story and some of these other things that are difficult at any budget level. We were not wanting for anything in terms of production, in terms of if we'd had, $10,000 more, we would be able, you know, we would have solved our problem. That's absolutely not the, you know, the issue right now.
Yeah, I think if anything we've all learned, and certainly the year, is story is everything. It's just everything.
Right. And of course, you are prepared to teach people this. This is the Lapsy Pug meeting next week and the show to now are not the only place this. You can learn this. You can learn it all at the No Budget Film School if you're in the LA area. Tell us a little bit about the when the next class is and what the people will learn at the No Budget Film School.
Well, I'm teaching this class over at Raleigh Studios on Saturday, July 9th. It's an all-day class. It's going to be jam-packed 7 hours of material. I've got great guest speakers, including my colleague and founder of Next Wave Films, Peter Broderick, director Joe Carnahan, my partner Ron Judkins,
I'm going to have to jump in there. Where can people find this information out online? At
NoBudgetFilmSchool.com.
That's terrific, and you can find all that out there. We'd like to thank Mark Stolaroff, the founder of the No Budget Film School, for being with us. Mark, we appreciate your time, and you can get more information at NoBudgetFilmSchool.com. We'll be back with The Buzz in just a minute.
Bye, Mark.
This is the Digital Production Buzz. What do you want to know?